My voice is breaking. So, yes, at last. So, I might be like Lee Marvin at the end. But it's great, isn't it? Celebrating family together. Janusz is 40 today. Yes. He doesn't look a day over 39 years and 11 months to me. So, you look very young. So, I've got quite a bit to say. We've done quite a bit, but God knew this, because between Trevor and Jean and between Janusz, there's a lot of cake to eat at the end. So, you're going to work for this with your minds and your hearts. And today, I wouldn't say so much as about a preach as a review, but in saying that, if you're visiting, if you don't know Jesus, if you're struggling with Jesus, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through this, because I'm speaking about principles. I'm speaking about what God is wanting and is doing with his body, which is the church, not about the church and the building. And maybe if you're visiting, I don't believe in coincidences. So maybe God's calling you to Rugeley, and you think you're just visiting here. Now, that's not to put any pressure on anyone. Particularly if you're visiting and you're sitting right at the back. But there's not to put any pressure on anyone. But please, don't switch off to think, oh, this is just for them. If Jesus Christ is at the centre of your heart, I believe God's Spirit will speak to you. This is for you as well. So, we felt it would be good to review where we are in the year. Beginning of the year, I shared what I felt were our three strategies for this coming year of 2013. And they were called, we call them strategies. I want you to see them as steps, because they are moving us towards fulfilling what God has planned for us and purposed for us. They are moving us towards fulfilling his mission and his vision over us. And when I say us, I mean you and me. That's us. Okay. So, do you remember what the three were for this year? It was discipleship, new facility, and lowering the age. Now, the year before that, 2012, I'm not going to go back to 2003. That wasn't prophetic, whatever it says. I'm only going to go back a couple of years. But the year before that, we had five strategies. And they included mission, outreach, integration of our Polish members, you, and leadership development. And I said at the beginning of the year, it's not that we were dropping these other three and just other two and going back. No, other three it would be. No, other two. And going back to, it's my maths, and going back and just leaving them. Because like, I want to try and get across, these are steps that we take. So as you all see, as I share, actually, we move and weave in and out of these other two steps. Because I want you to see that I believe these steps are Holy Spirit breathed. So there's movement, there's change, there's a flowing within them, all working towards us fulfilling our mission and vision that God has called and placed upon us. So, who can think where we're going to start first in doing a review? Where do you think a good place would be to start? If we're thinking about mission and vision, where would you think we would start? Does anyone? Our vision and mission statement. Bill, you get a prize for that. There you go. And don't assemble it while I'm talking, because I shall check at the end. Yeah, I want to start with our mission and our vision statement. So, this is our mission statement. That we'd be a church that brings hope and restoration to everyone in our community, town, and region as family on mission together. Hope and restoration. We see that happening. But we want to see that increasingly happening. And we have a vision statement. It says that we believe that God wants us to build a church that is God-centered, Bible-based, and Spirit-filled. that we would be the people God has called us to be in serving his purposes through the place, region, and world that we live in. That we're to be a people in God's kingdom who are locally committed, yet globally connected. And as we go through this morning, I hope you begin to see, actually, we weave in and out of this vision and mission statement. We desire to see people introduced to Christ and become members of a community where they can grow to maturity, and that this community would make an impact for God's kingdom. We want to see the spiritual regeneration of this town and the surrounding area come through the proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and expressed through social action. We want to be inclusive of all ages, classes and races, helping them to find love, acceptance, help, forgiveness, guidance and encouragement through Jesus Christ. And that we would have a facility which would be a resource centre to both the community we live in and for the kingdom of God. That's our vision and mission statement. That's our book we put together of all the prophetic words that we felt were relevant for us in moving forward this year. Eric has further copies of those. But here's our first challenge. If this is the first time that you've seen this statement since last January, then that's too long. Because if it's vision, we have to pay daily attention to it. We have to pay daily commitment to it. Because it's what God has called us to. Because if we're consumed with tension between what is and what could be, and I am quite often, so I guess you will be, if we get frustrated or even broken-hearted on the journey we're on, or whether we're on the highest mountain of seeing everything so clearly where God has called us, we need to remind ourselves upon God's mission and vision, upon his church, that he has placed you and me in. Because it keeps us focused on him. It keeps us focused and it keeps us moving. So if you haven't looked at that, then please, it's on the back of the handout sheet today. Keep it with you. Keep it by you. Keep reminding yourself what God has called us to. Not just the leadership, but called us to as one body. Because as his church, whatever we plan, whatever we do, whatever we introduce or change, has to line up with our vision and mission statement. We don't just pluck things out of the air. We don't just pluck preferences or good ideas. It has to line up with the vision and the mission to move us forward. Otherwise, we'd be going all over the place. And there is clarity when God leads us. So I want to encourage you to personally embrace the vision and mission and make it stick. Because if you're a member here, it's your mission and vision. So, the first strategy that we said that we wanted to focus more on in 2013 was discipleship. It's not that discipleship doesn't happen within Rugeley Community Church. It does. But it can tend to be a pocket here and a pocket there. Yet when we look at Jesus and his life that he led, he modelled discipleship. It was a way of life. And as a church, we want to reflect Jesus Christ, do we not? So we want discipleship to be a way of life. And I said back in January, it seems a long time ago now, January, no. Yeah. I said back in January, that will involve a culture change within the church. And that's not going to happen in 8 months, in 9 months. That's going to take time to change the culture of the church. There's no quick fix when it comes to discipleship. It's a life journey that we're all on. And as we know, Jesus didn't just model being a disciple. He commanded that we were to disciple others. That part of the Great Commission is that we are to go and make disciples. Remember, we looked at those verses in Matthew 28. Well known, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, discipleship is key and central in this church. And it needs to be, because to advance God's kingdom, to build his church, we need to be a discipling church. And I said there was two really good opportunities in 2013, let alone everything else that we're looking at, but there were two opportunities to make disciples. The first is in Alpha. I believe that's their new logo. They've got a new logo now. The little man has gone. Oh, it's one of many logos. Well, that's the logo I found on the... Now, during April, May and June, Richard ran a very successful Alpha. It was a bit of an unusual Alpha because all of the people that came on it all came from the website. That's a work of God. It's also a challenge as well. Because it's great that they were on that, but we're the ones that we need to invite and ask. Well, there's time. But we had six from the website. And I guess they were all helped in moving on. But for some, they even came through and crossed the line. Didn't they, Louise and Ron and Angela? Would you like to stand up? You just want to thank God. Yeah, come on. I thank God for what he's done in your lives. And we pray for what he continues to do in your lives. This isn't the end, this is the start. So thank you and bless you. You can sit down. Well, hey, that's us. I'm going to get all emotional now. So on the 17th of April, we've got a new Alpha course starting. Yeah, what did I say? Good, you're all listening, that's great. Good. I thought it was my throat that's going, not my mind, but there we go. Yeah, 17th of September. Hasn't that come round quick from April? And I just want to read it. Richard has actually written a vision statement. I want to read you part of that this morning because I want you to see how this all connects in to the journey we're on and our main vision and mission. And it says, Alpha is to be an integral part of the church's mission. It is a tool that will support a larger strategy of equipping and releasing church members to reach the lost and make disciples. And we have said as elders that we are now making a conscious effort to put Alpha prominently in the centre of this church. We believe it's a God-given tool that we see fruit from because God works through it. And we believe Alpha is central to our vision and our mission. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean for you then, if we're saying that? Well, this is what it means. If you're not currently serving on an Alpha that we're running, if you're not currently bringing someone to an Alpha that we're currently running, then you can at least be praying for the Alpha that's currently running. Because what will happen is, the next Alpha that follows on, you might be serving on that Alpha. You may be bringing someone Alpha on that Alpha. But you can be reassured that someone else will be praying for you on that Alpha. So we all own Alpha. Alpha is not something we do out there, which I feel has tended to be the case of us. Alpha is central to what we do. To what we do. Just to quote another part from the vision statement. It says, in doing this, meaning Alpha, we are taking Jesus' commission to make disciples seriously, actively engaged in discipling to see those attending saved and added to the church. It's part of our wider vision and mission to disciple this church. Now, our second opportunity in 2013 was Borderlands. Now, this turned out to be our last Borderlands. I personally felt it was one of the best Borderlands through worship, teaching, and in fellowship. And yet again, God spoke to us as a church. Praise God. This time it was through Jeremy Simpkins. And it was a word to both us and Wildwood. And it was in August's news sheet, I believe. Yes, it was. But I just wanted to read you a snippet from it. Because God said this to us, both churches. God is promising you evangelistic breakthrough, promising you growth. He's promising you multiplication. And this isn't about one man with a fishing rod. It's not like Eric is a little gnome sitting on a toadstool with a fishing rod. I don't know, I didn't realise he'd said that. Anyway, saying, oh, I think I caught one. No, this is about glorious, massive catches of fish. This is about multiplication. This is teeming, net breaking, can't contain enough of it, because the glory of God is in the church. And he's shining out for you, and he's giving you a deposit hearts now. Is it me or is it? Okay, I'll keep going. Again, this is God speaking into the vision that he has spoken over us. And I want you to get a copy of that prophetic word and pray over it. Pray it in. Catch the deposit of faith that God is speaking over us. Now, I'll be speaking more about Borderlands region and the future of that at Wednesday's family meeting. So that's a lot of exciting things happening Wednesday, isn't it? So you don't want to miss that, really, do you? No, you don't? No. No. But when I talked about earlier about our strategies, steps, being God-breathed, they're fluid. God again brought in our Polish relationship within that time at Borderlands, because we had for a week, we had, was it 12 or 13? I lost count in the end. Ish, from Janusz and Camilla's old church with us. And I know God spoke to them at that weekend. I know that it's helped them in ways I don't think they even know yet in moving forward. But they came back different to what they went on that weekend. But it was also, as a wider church, an opportunity for more of us to build relationship. And I really felt, particularly the Monday night when we had a time of communion and worship together, we really came together. It wasn't about us and them. We were worshipping together. We were communing together. We were praying for one another's needs within each of the body. And we await to see where God takes us on that journey. Now, it's a fluid journey. So, Evelina's moving on. Janusz and Camilla are moving on. But that doesn't mean it's the end. It just means it's God outworking his future for us. We might have other brothers and sisters with us. We're going to see where that relationship develops with Yasak and Tomak. Now, other areas that we're seeing discipleship develop is in the worship team. I'm really encouraged by their vision and their structure now. You know, they're learning new songs, they're training, they're studying the word together, and they're socializing together. All these aspects make up a discipling church. Can we do something about this, guys? Is it batteries or is it... That's as technical as I can get. Because if it isn't, I don't know what it is. But anyway, I'll keep talking. But, you know, also within that... Is it on? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's it. Our current discipleship, they're thinking about that. Lowering our age. Now, did you know this morning there was some at a lower age than maybe they've been up there before? That's all part of working towards filling the mission and vision that God's placed upon us. Leadership development. Though we haven't mentioned that much, we're actually developing our discipling in that. Now, we had an encounter group that met for 18 months. If you were on that, just stick your hand up. Yeah, see? Now, the point of that was we were trying to help people reach and stretch them in their potential. If I'm honest, that probably worked better for some than others. But that's church life. That's how we keep learning and growing. Well, from this autumn... We're starting something new. Eric, Philippa, Jacqueline, and myself are going to start meeting with Richard and Adita, Andy and Jane, and John and Luana in a smaller group. But we're going to be looking to disciple them and see where God develops in regards to future leadership. Now, this is a relational discipling, because discipling's got to be relational. It's person to person. But there's no commitment to a result. We're trying to grow them, not crush them. And that's what you'd be doing with all. But we're just thinking and planning for future for this church. Growth groups is a great opportunity to be discipled, to get discipled. It's a great place to grow and to fellowship and support and be cared for. And if you don't go, that's quite difficult to get done. And as we grow, we're going to need the support of one another more, increasingly, because one person, one couple can't do it all. We need each other. That's what a one-body discipling church is about. Now, Dave and Wendy Barnsley are going to be taking over Eric's and Philippa's group. So that's exciting, isn't it? And there will come a time when Yanish and Camilla's group will need new leaders. We're not going to stand them down and say, oh, because I think we want them to still serve us, because you serve us well. It's a good group. But who's going to step up to the mark when they move on? This is all about a growing, emerging, discipling church. It's a church where each one of us has got to be making disciples, has got to be being discipled, and should be discipling others. It shouldn't be for one or other to do. We're all to be doing that. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And that's what we want. God to outwork the work of his hands in each of our lives. The next step, the next strategy we looked at was new facility. Now that's not it. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's not it. That's and it's not your eyesight. All right, that's not how it looks. But I did feel it was important to change the picture. I don't know if you remember, I used to have the blurred picture. You couldn't make anything out. Now, we're still where we are. Yes, you can see that, Richard. That's not a word of knowledge or revelation. You can see we're still here. But, you know, I do believe the steps we have taken this year have made our journey a lot clearer. Provision, our chosen architects, have been so helpful in helping us map out the way forward. We now know to within a fairly small percentage what a 300-seater facility with all the facilities in that will cost us. Does that make the figure any smaller? No. Does that make the steps any smaller? No. But it does take away the uncertainty. Because, you know, it felt like when we approach this sometimes, you are standing at an ocean and you think, where do we start? Where do we turn? Which direction do we go in? And it felt like you end up in one of those little Welsh, I don't know what they call them, corridor. You go round and round and round and nothing happens. Well, actually, we believe we've got clearer steps of faith now that we can see and where they need to be taken. And it's interesting. Even that stirs and rises our faith. Because as directors, we were talking and facing smaller amounts a year ago. And they look big. Now we're talking even bigger amounts. But, you know, there's a sense of peace within that, that God's going to fulfill that. Because we can't do it. God is going to do that. So there's been an increasing faith in our zeros as they've grown. But I believe that's of God. Now, we shared with you, I don't think it was, Joan, but we shared with you about Wheelhouse Road and that we're going jointly for this piece of land. Now, we still await news on that because there's been some complications. But we shouldn't be surprised. Land is something you've always got to fight over. You look scripturally, you've got to fight over land. So we believe that's our chosen spot. But we've got to fight for it. Well, when we were on holiday, I have to confess, I got a little bit impatient with God and I was getting frustrated. So God spoke to me. And he spoke to me from 2 Chronicles 20, 15, 17. It was a reading that happened to be the very next day that I had a bit of a grumble. So don't grumble before the Lord, is it? It says, "Listen, all Judea and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up from the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judea, O Jerusalem, O Richard Miller. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Sometimes it's as important to hear what God doesn't say as what he does says. And what I mean by that is, I got really struck by verse 17 where it said, "Stand firm, hold your position." Now, in the ESV, he says stand firm. And I feel that, to me, is that is the interpretation I want to take of it. In the NIV, it says stand still. But I feel stand firm speaks more of the approach and attitude we should have. And what do I mean by what he doesn't say? God didn't say, stand aside and let me take over. He said, stand firm, hold your position. And when I looked in the dictionary of what standing firm means, it says, refuse to abandon one's opinion or belief. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." I think it's a spiritual strength that we've got to stand in, not a human strength, because I think if you stand in a human strength, then we lose that love. It all becomes about us. But we've got to stand fast, we've got to persevere. We do not deviate in our faith, trust, or prayer to God, because I believe the battle is his. And actually, when I thought about it, I thought, God's got us this far anyway. It's nothing we've done. We couldn't have orchestrated this land. God's done that. So it's God that's going to have to give us this land over. So the battle is his. And I just want to remind us some of the key points about a new facility. The facility is going to stand out in Rugeley. That's what God has told us. It's a place where people will have to go past. All these places speak the Wheelhouse Road to me. But God will do it. We're not to have a that will do mentality or a second best attitude in the building. We're not talking about gold taps, but I believe it will reflect the glory of the Lord and what he has done. And God is about changing the atmosphere and this region. Now that, you go back to our vision statement, you can see that's tying in with that. And our vision statement is 4 years now, but God is still living and breathing and moving us in. Other developments. We are now a charitable company, and if you want to know what that means, you'll have to come on Wednesday, because Richard's going to share all about that and what that means. We now have a community valuation has been drawn up on us. What's that? You'll have to come on Wednesday, because Eric's going to share all about that. So you'll be queuing here at the door. I'll be coming and I'll be letting you in, don't worry, but you'll be all rushing in to get in. Now, since January, Bromford Support now use the building weekly, and they deal with vulnerable people within the community. And we hold the Chase Voluntary Service Neighbourhood Network here. Well, we're actually taking that over, and we're going to be running that. Dave Dunham's going to be facilitating that. And it's a great opportunity of bringing organisations and community together. We're going to rename it, we're going to widen it, we're going to re-advertise it. But it's all about us becoming this church without walls. You won't see where organisation and church starts and ends. And that's how I feel we should be as a people within the community that we live. Our third strategy is lowering the age, average age of our church. Don't use that colour if you're doing PowerPoints because it doesn't work. Okay. I feel this step gets a bit misunderstood and maybe it needs renaming, because what we're not trying to do is make a youth church. I'm not trying to make a church of 20s or 30s. That's not what it's about. We are a family church of all ages. And the makeup of our church should reflect the community that we live in. So if we were a university town, then we should reflect a higher proportion of students than we do here, which you find in places like Nottingham. They're big churches with big amounts of young people. So they have an effect on the makeup of their church. Our makeup of our communities is family, and we are one family. But we recognise that we are short of younger families to make up the whole. And I said in January that actually a facility would play a part in lowering our age appeal. I actually want to change that now. It is key to lowering our appeal. It is key. And then I think what happens, and probably I've done it, we always talk about the balance of bricks and mortar and vision and mission. And sometimes we don't talk about bricks and mortar, because we talk about too much about bricks and mortar, we'll lose the vision and the mission. And actually, they've got to go hand in hand. Uses bricks and mortar to facilitate and fulfill his vision. And I want to read you what hopefully you'll find is an encouraging piece about Ashbourne Elam Pentecostal Church, which is just down the road. And as you listen to this, see how much this mirrors what God is doing with us. This involves glasses. The title is, We Listen to God's Plan and Now Church is Thriving. Ben, who's Ben Brown, the pastor, and the leadership team took the final decision that the church needed to move somewhere more practical with facilities for children and car parking. The growth of the church ministries was being restricted by the building and its location. Sounds a bit familiar. The congregation pulled together, that sounds very familiar, and raised a large amount of finance along with the sale of the existing building, church manse, and a loan from Elam. We succeeded in constructing a purpose-built church and community centre, as the town did not have such facilities. In July 2011, the church moved from a small backstreet building with no car park to a 200-seater construction with facilities for all ages. The outreach program now includes the Little Sparkles toddler group, a kids club, a youth club, a youth drop-in, a seniors outreach is also held there regularly, and food bank. We officially opened in September 2011, and it's been great so far, Ben says. We have a modern, contemporary building that can be used for today's church, in which is busy every day of the week. We want it to be the hub of the community. Haven't I said that before? And that is what we are seeing starting to happen. Since the move, the church has seen significant growth across the ages, but particularly through families. A demographic which was lacking in the church previously. This summer heralds a busy time for the church, with a two-story extension planned, as well as a church plant into nearby Bakewell. Ben says, I believe the growth of the church in Ashbourne is down to prayer, the people hearing from God, listening to his plan for the people of the town, and showing Jesus' love to those we meet. Couldn't that so easily be us? That is so easily going to be us. But it's encouraging. Bricks and mortar enable us to facilitate God's vision and mission for us. And within those bricks and mortar, the format and content of how we reach community has to evolve to incorporate younger families and people, to make up the wholeness of who we are in one family. So some of the other things we're doing. We've got a new logo, as you well know. Now, the colour has changed because it wasn't. The lettering and colouring of that still might have to change. But what I want to just remind you of is that isn't just something that's happened. I want to remind you that that represents who we are. That we are outward looking, as those figures are outward looking. We're looking into the communities that we live in. We have outstretched arms because we want to be welcoming those within from the community we live in. We want to be inclusive and welcoming. Where they're leaning against each other. We want to be a church that supports one another, that looks out and cares for one another. And now each figure is a different colour. Because last time it wasn't out here. Because we are made up of diverse and different people. We have still the website and the Facebook and the Twitter. That's mainly been circumstances that have held that. And also we needed charity numbers and new company numbers. But they are on the way. But at the end of the day, these things help. But what really matters is you. You're what makes the difference. So whether you're 14 or 104, you have been placed here to make a difference. You each have a part to play within the outworking of this vision and mission. We are family on mission together. And we want to build. We want to build what God's called us to. But like I've said before, we want to build and leave and encourage and bring forth the next generation. So what we leave, they build upon. What becomes our ceiling becomes their floor. C.S. Lewis said, that's a bit faint, I couldn't get any clearer, so I'll read it. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get nothing. We want a big perspective, a big picture of what God is calling us to. And I felt I was going to end there. And then God spoke to me about one other thing that he wants me to speak on this morning. And I could say that I was up a mountain 3 days praying when this came to me. But I wasn't. Thank you, Bill. Yes, I wasn't. I was watching a Spider-Man film. And I'd watched it before. But there was a scene in which Peter Parker, not our Peter Parker. Yeah, thank you, Peter. I've given his identity away now, but you're not to tell anyone else, okay? Your secret's safe with us, Peter. Where Peter Parker is talking to his Uncle Ben about his new, well, he's not talking about his newfound powers, he's trying to talk about it, but not talk about it. So he says, Peter says this, I'm trying, Uncle Ben, I am. I feel all this, choosing words carefully, power, but I don't know what it means, how to control it. Even or what I'm supposed to do with it. And Uncle Ben says, you'll figure it out. You're one smart cookie, Pete. Your teachers tell me you've never seen a science, they've never seen a science whiz like you at this age. Knowledge is power. And then he says this, he says, but with great power comes great responsibility. Remember that of those to whom much is given, much is required. And you know, that just struck me in the middle of eating my crisps, watching Spider. But with great power comes great responsibility. Remember that, of those to whom much is given, much is required. So first thing, always be sensitive to when God would want to speak to you. But secondly, we talk about forgiveness, grace, freedom and liberty in Christ. We know and understand as Christians that these are God-given rights to us. Yet with rights comes responsibilities. Grace is free, but it did not come cheap. It came at the expense of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We have this great treasure within Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have been given much. But as Uncle Ben says, with great power comes great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And I just felt And finishing, God wanted just to remind us of the responsibilities as Christians that we have. And I'm not going to read all the verses because we don't have time, but they're on the handout sheet. So we've seen some of these already. We have a responsibility to make disciples. Not a choice, we have a responsibility as Christians to make disciples. We have a responsibility to teach new disciples. You say, I'm not a teacher. It might not be what you teach. It might be what you demonstrate in your life that teaches a younger disciple or even an older disciple sometimes. We have a responsibility to be God's witnesses, to be his ambassadors for Christ. In all that I've shared this morning, we have a responsibility and a sense of duty and obligation to self and to others. We're in this together. Okay? But with responsibility comes accountability. Never before has there been a greater need for the church and for Christians to step up and accept their responsibilities. You know, as part of the body of Christ in the local New Testament church, we each have a responsibility. Firstly, it's our responsibility to belong to the local church. Matthew 16:18. I'm not going to read it, you can read that later. But Christ built the church as his instrument for carrying out the Great Commission. R.G. Lee, when asked, can I be a Christian without joining the church, said this. Yes, it is possible, as being a student who will not go to school, a soldier who will not join the army, a citizen who does not pay taxes or vote, a salesman with no customers, an explorer in no base camp, a seaman on the ship without a crew, a businessman on a desert island, an author without readers, a tuba player without an orchestra, a parent without a family, a football player without a team, a politician who is a hermit, a scientist who does not share his findings, and a bee without a hive. I think he was trying to make a point. We have a responsibility to faithfully work within the church. Ephesians 4:8 there, it talks about some being evangelists, teachers, prophets. The purpose of the church is to glorify God by making disciples who worship and obediently serve him. Serving in the church is one of the most fulfilling purposes God has created you for. And the success of what we do within the church depends on every member discovering and using their unique gifts. Finally, we have a responsibility to fellowship within the church. Hebrews 10 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. A Baptist preacher once said this, one of the really surprising things is that weather has so much effect on religion. A lack of attendance at church is always listed as one of the reasons for religious failure. A great percentage of folks will not attend when it is raining, snowing, when it is hot or cold. In the southwest part of Ohio, it is estimated it will rain about 10 Sundays a year. Snow on at least 3, and it figures to be hot 12 Sundays. Cold for at least 9. This makes 34 Sundays that folks cannot attend church. They will have company visiting their home on about 8 Sundays and will be away visiting for about another 8. This makes 50 Sundays a year that those folks cannot attend church. It leaves 2 Sundays that they do attend, Easter and Christmas, if it doesn't rain or snow. We have a responsibility to come together, to meet regularly together. We have a responsibility, each of us, to be active, giving, encouraging, and participating. The Christian life is a life of freedom, but it is a life of responsibility and is a life of privileges. Much has been given us through Jesus Christ, but actually much is expected of us also. We are soldiers and workers in this world. There will be a time for eternal rest But it's not here in this world. Paul reminds us our citizenship. Oh, that's the one on its own. Paul reminds us our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We eagerly await his return. But until such time, we have been given an important mission. My prayer this morning is that you catch afresh the bigger picture of what God has called us to. Because Rosary Community Church isn't about strategies, meetings and events. We're about catching God's vision and mission that he has for us. And it's good to look back sometimes. It's good to review. Because actually we see how God is taking us on this journey. See, we don't want to go to church. We want to be the church. And that's in every aspect of our life. Now, I was going to pray, and I was going to bring everyone to the front, and we were going to pray, and we were going to do it that way. But we're not. We're going to do it a different way.